even before you start. That was a preemptive shh. Just know I have a whole bag of shh with your name on it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Frank and Patsy podcast. For what is today's date, Frank? Today is
Wednesday, April 8th.
Wednesday, April 8th. A pretty big day in the current events. Of course, I'm your co-host, Patsy Zarilla.
And I'm co-host Frank Natel.
And Frank, we had pretty much of a bomb drop on us today in the Democratic side of the election, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it happened a little earlier than both of us predicted. But I think if you go back and listen to our podcasts when we made our predictions, I think we settled on the month of April, maybe pushing into, you know, late April. But, you know, we had made some predictions that we thought, and we also hoped that, you know, if the writing was on the wall, which it is, that Bernie Sanders would suspend or drop out of the presidential race. And in fact, he announced that today.
Yeah, that really came as a shock to everybody. I remember reading a little bit about some of his senior advisors telling him, "Hey, maybe it's time to sew this thing up." But I heard it on either MSNBC or Stephanie Miller. I can't remember which one it was, but it was in such passing whenever they mentioned it that I just figured it was rumor, you know, that there really wasn't a whole lot of meat on the bone. So I just kind of dismissed it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they knew that the end result was going to be that he would lose, but you know, it's a tough thing. I think when you've come so close, and in the realistic thing is this, you know, you and I both knew that the writing was on the wall in this particular campaign from earlier on. The same energy was never there. The same money was never there. And you know, the just wasn't quite the same as what it was in the past for Bernie. But you know, when you've run such a good, in his mind and maybe his supporters' mind, such a good close campaign to become the nominee for the Democratic Party, the major party, one of the two major parties for presidency, it's got to be hard. It's got to be hard to step away. To his credit, at some point, he was allowing his advisors to tell him the right thing to do, and he put his ego in check and did the right thing here in early April. So, yeah, I mean, I think looking at it and listening back to those advisors that were speaking out and kind of saying some things, in reflection on it, it's good to think that maybe they had his ear, and well, clearly they must have had his ear and spoken some wisdom to him. So,
yeah, I asked the question today. I was talking to a coworker, somebody extremely conservative, and I asked him the question because he came walking over to my desk and he said, "Hey, did you hear Bernie Sanders had dropped out?" And at that point I didn't hear. So I jumped on, you know, you Google it real quick, and I was like, "Holy shit, he did." And I looked at him, and the first thing I thought of was, "Hey, do you think that maybe that whole heart attack thing or whatever was a whole hell of a lot worse, or his health after that is not as good as he made it seem to be, because this just came out of the blue. And I'm wondering if his health isn't an issue," because he never did let anybody know anything about his health records or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that. I mean, he could be just saying, you know, in his own, you know, family circle or in the people that are around him, saying, "Look, I'd rather spend my time, you know, trying to stay healthy and trying to stay with the people that I care about, as opposed to running around the country campaigning, you know, with my last few good years that I'm going to have on this earth." You know, I don't know. I mean, it's as good a guess as any. I think it makes a lot of sense to bring that up. But, you know, that's been a couple months ago, and he hasn't really had any, you know, we haven't seen or heard any new medical information about it.
What do you think is going to happen with their known as the Bernie Bros, but you know, obviously it's not just the college kids. What do you think is going to happen with them? Because if you get on social media right now, you think that somebody just killed their dog.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be those hardcore people that are quote unquote butthurt about this. The good thing about it in this situation is he didn't go all the way to the convention with this, you know, and they can't cry and claim that this is the establishment pushing them out. They can say it, but it has a lot less legitimacy in this situation than it did. And not that it was legitimate 4 years ago, but I'm saying it has a lot less ring of truth to it at this point in time than it did 4 years ago. And I think that, you know, you're going to always have those hardcore supporters, especially the ones who are really loudmouthed and upset. And I understand that they may never come around. They may take their ball and go home, so to speak, take their vote and go somewhere else or just not show up and vote. But I really believe that pretty easily that if you just took sheer numbers and said somebody that was likely to or would in fact support Bernie Sanders, if you took sheer numbers and said, I bet you I'm willing to say 60% of those folks will just throw their support behind who will be the eventual Democratic nominee, Joe Biden. I think if the Democrats can somehow convince 15% total of the 100% Bernie supporters to make it a 75% transition of those moving their support from Bernie to Biden, I think it'll be fine for Biden. And I think that those other folks who remain hurt, of that remaining 25% of them, some of them just won't vote. Some of them will vote for a third party candidate, and some of them will vote for Trump. And I think that that's not going to be enough in this case, in this election. If we have a free and fair election, if we have, you know, an opportunity for people to actually vote, and that's a big if, I don't think, you know, whatever is left of that 25% of Bernie supporters splitting their votes up is going to be enough to hurt Biden.
I you know what, at the end of the day, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think enough of those folks are going to come over, and I'm going to be a bit naive and say that those who won't, who either don't vote or vote third party, because now it opens the door for a third party candidate, right?
Yeah.
It really does. So I'm real curious to see who that's going to be now, because somebody's either going to get the itch to do it, or Russia's going to pay him off to do it, one or the other. Or, you know, Trump's going to pay him off. But whatever it is, the door's open for a third party now.
This
cycles Jill Stein.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe it'll be, you know, maybe it'll be what's her name, the Hawaiian
Tulsi Gabbard, or yeah,
maybe it'll be Tulsi Gabbard, maybe it'll be somebody else. But you know, the other thing that we have to think about too is with Bernie making this decision, this quote unquote early. I'm not saying it's early, but kind of early. Seven months before the general election, he has an opportunity to also, you know, shape the Democratic convention with some of the things that he's going to say and push for his agenda. But while he does that, he can get concessions from Biden. And then because of those concessions, and however Biden is, you know, a pretty savvy politician, he can work that in a way that Biden and he will go to the masses of people who supported Bernie, including the Bernie Bros, so to speak, and ask them to support Biden because some of these concessions are going to be made. Like we talked about this. This is how it's done, you know, and hopefully that's what will be followed through with. And we'll see, you know, that tale is yet to be told, but I really believe that he's paving the way, and his supporters or the advisors are paving the way for him to carve out those kind of concessions from Biden, and then to say to his supporters, look, we're getting a lot of what we wanted. You didn't get the guy you wanted, but the policies that you wanted, you're going to have an ear and a mouthpiece in the Democratic Party for you if you throw your support behind Biden.
Yeah, I think I mentioned in our Discord group too. I said, you know, he still has the opportunity to push the party to the left. You know, that opportunity hasn't died.
Right.
So he still has that opportunity. He still, in a lot of ways, he has a better leverage. I mean, I don't mean overall, but in certain ways, in certain aspects, his leverage is greater now than it was whenever he was just running. Now he can really zoom in and focus and start to segregate things a lot better, I think. So I think you're right. He is a savvy politician. He knows how to play the game. He's done it forever. And this could end up, how about not being as bad as a lot of people are on his supporters are thinking it will be. He really does have opportunities to do a lot more with what he has now than he did before. Just to interrupt us real quick, 15 minutes ago on CNN, they decided to come up with the headline. Sanders had multiple conversations with Obama ahead of decision to end campaign. That's the actual headline on CNN, on CNN.com. They're not saying what it was, but that's a pretty, I don't want to say misleading headline, because later in the article it talks about how Obama's been talking to both Biden and Bernie's campaigns for quite a while. But they made it sound like, you know, he influenced Bernie's decisions, and that's going to be something to say, because you know, no one influences Bernie's decisions.
Exactly, exactly. You this know? Is a guy who's very anti-establishment. He would never, if they told him to do something, he'd go the other way. So it has to be very, you know, he must have been seeking out President Obama's advice, and just like anybody would. I mean, if you're running for president, you're going to go to the last Democratic president who can give you advice on how to win. What's the path forward? What are some of the things you should be thinking about? And, you know, look, for as much of a ego-driven person as, you know, Bernie is, he's still a smart guy, and he's going to listen to the advice of somebody who's been there and done that.
Yeah, and let's face it, Obama's living rent-free in Trump's mind. He's been doing it for, 12 years. Yeah. So, you know, this idea of Obama now can really start getting. Can you imagine this now? I mean, you're going to have, and let's just project a little bit. You're going to have Elizabeth Warren, who Trump has a real hard time with. Kamala Harris, who I still think is going to be the VP pick. I really do. And it might just be my heart because she was my choice from day one. But I really think she's going to be the VP pick. She checks off all the boxes. So you're going to have her, you're going to have Bernie, you're going to have you're going to have Obama. Hopefully none of the Clintons. I hope to God none of the Clintons get involved. But you're going to have all of these people now just focusing on Trump, and he's going to have to fire back at all of them while they're all putting Biden up on the pedestal and making him look like the good guy. That's going to be, Trump will have his surrogates, absolutely, but boy, that's a hell of a thing to have to fight against.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot, and I think the point you're making and what you've been hoping for a very long time is that there's going to be some party unity, cohesion moving forward, a planned strategy to attack the one common enemy politically that is there. And that's what we're going to, you know, that's what we're hoping to see, that there's more coalescence around, you know, the one candidate and supporting a strategy that helps defeat Trump, you know, getting behind this one candidate. So I think it's a great point you've made and build up to, you know, over the course of our pod, and you're maybe going to see in real time how that plays out, you know, and being hopeful. I think that there's a chance that, you know, the Democrats, let's face it, because they're such a big tent party and because they're such a, they hold to ideals. The Republicans claim to hold to ideals of family. They used to talk about family first and responsibility and personal responsibility and things like that and religion. But, you know, it's such a thin veneer. They don't give a shit about any of that, clearly. And it's so transparent that I don't even think they pretend to be that anymore. They just pretend to wave the flag and say that they're cheerleaders for America now, which is one of Trump's statements today, which I thought was fantastic. I mean, he's a cheerleader now. Let's put a skirt on him. How about that? So
maybe somebody should grab him by the pussy, huh?
Exactly. So, and I know I'm not saying that to disparage women, because women are very strong and we wish we had, you know, a great woman leader, but in the sense of Trump and his supporters, it would drive them absolutely nuts if they saw a caricature of him in a skirt with pom-poms, but he called himself a cheerleader today. So that's the only reason I bring that up. But I think that we're going to see in real time kind of your wish coming true, and hopefully, you know, we'll see the Democrat Party be able to kind of have a much more, you know, direct approach, a coalesced vision that they can talk about. Because let's face it, people don't want their Social Security to go away. People don't want their healthcare benefits to go away. They don't want their entitlements that they've worked hard for and paid into to be threatened. And that's a losing proposition on the Republican Party, that they've threatened those things. And the Democrat Party has always stood for protecting those things. So, you know, if you can talk about those things and really stand behind the idea of being the party that has protected those things and continuously protected those things and never backed away from protecting those things, never shied away from protecting those things. We're here to protect your entitlements. We're here to protect your future, your current, your present, and your future. We're not threatening those things, and we won't threaten those things. You know, those are some big issues, and it's a straightforward argument and case to be made to the American people. And without distraction now, it can be made, right? So.
Yeah, and that's the one thing they have to they really have to be disciplined about is don't get in the weeds with this clown. Stay on top, you know, stay on the things that people care about, the healthcare, the wages, you know, protecting the environment, things that mean a lot to people, right? Union support, all the classic Democratic talking points.
Right.
Stay on those. Be disciplined and stay on those. Don't go into the weeds whenever he starts, you know, coming up with calling people names and just being the ignorant dickish shelf that he's going to be, because it's going to get bad now with him.
Sure.
Because he's scared of Biden. He's been scared of Biden from day one. So.
Yep.
You know, when a bully gets scared, you know how they lash out. So you're going to see this. You're going to see this get real nasty real quick. So the Democrats have to stay on point. They really have to be disciplined to do that. Or, you know, just assign an attack dog. You know, Elizabeth Warren would be a great one. Just assign an attack dog. Every time he goes into the gutter, she goes into the gutter. But everybody else, you know,
stays above.
On point, you know, if they wanted to do that, you know, I mean, there's lots of options. And speaking of Elizabeth Warren, one thing that no one's remembering, she has yet to endorse Biden. Both her and Bernie have yet to do that. And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about how, you know, Bernie's, you know, he's played this game a long time. He knows how to play it. He's keeping that close to the vest. So is Warren. You know, she hasn't come out, and she dropped out how long ago? And she hasn't done any kind of endorsement yet. So you have a couple of aces in the hole. They're you know, more like euchre aces than poker aces, but they're still there.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And it's going to have a bump and a boost when they do that. And it's something to hold back, because let's face it, right now the American attention, the public attention, the news media attention is on coronavirus. It's on COVID-19 and the effects of that. And, you know, quite frankly, in my opinion, if somebody gave an endorsement to a presidential candidate today, tomorrow, next week, it'll get lost. It'll really get lost in the other news cycle. So I think it's better to wait until, you know, there's some more clarity on this, and what we're going to do in terms of the election, because, you know, it's something we didn't necessarily plan on talking about as a topic today, but we do have this issue of states that are saying, yeah, go out and vote, just physically go out and vote, and other states that are postponing it and try to figure out better ways, and other states that are saying, let's do mail-in. You know, so there's a lot of questions as to how's this election going to unfold? How are we going to actually physically do this election? So, you know, when they time their endorsement, I think is going to be based upon, to some extent, the effect that it will have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing a pretty good job of, you know, not, it's going to sound like a stupid statement, but I think you'll understand it. I think the Democrats are doing a pretty good job of not competing with the virus, with the coronavirus. And I mean, it's competing with it as far as airtime is concerned, right? They are doing a lot on social media, and we have been talking over on our video daily pod, about how it's kind of, and I'd mentioned this to Dr. Diane, that I'm having a hard time finding anything from Biden, you know, as far as his campaign. It's like I can't find him anywhere. Now all of a sudden I'm starting to see him a little bit more, and I don't mean just not like today because of Bernie, but over the last couple of days, my behavior hasn't changed. I haven't gone to other venues to look for him, right? He's just been showing up a little more often in my feed. So his campaign is starting to ramp it up a little bit. They're starting to get a little bit more involved. I know he has a presser today at 5:30, which I'm really curious to see. 5:30 Eastern time, US Eastern time. So I'm real curious to see how that's going to play out, what he has to say about all of this. I'm also curious to see when the coronavirus presser is going to be today. How much you want to bet it's at the same time? How much you want to bet me?
I wouldn't bet anything, because I believe what you're what you're implying is going to happen, and that is this guy can't stand to have anybody else take a minute of the attention away from him. So he's going to continue to use this horrible thing that's happened to the world to try to continue to promote his own self and his campaign.
Yeah, I really believe you're you know, there's a reason his pressers are on when they're on. He just as easily could be doing this in the afternoon, right, or prime time. He really could, because the networks aren't going to ignore him. Okay, they ignored Obama whenever he had his pressers about viruses. Right, that he wanted prime time, and none of the networks would air it. This guy commands networks. So he could be on it. He can tell people he wants to be on the, you know, some November night on a Monday at 9 o'clock, go against Monday Night Football, and they'll all say okay, you know. So he can do it. He's choosing to do it at the same time Biden's doing his. A bigger question for me is going to be, because of, and I'm sorry, Frank, I'm kind of bouncing a little bit on you, but there's been a lot of talk, and we had mentioned it again, you know, I hate to keep plugging our video one, but we had been talking about on the video about how the network shouldn't be carrying these pressers that Trump's having, because basically it's nothing more than a campaign rally tool. It's actually, you know, he's actually doing this in place of his campaign rallies. I wonder whenever these networks are going to switch over and start rebroadcasting the video feed from Biden's pressers, because his are all online. You know, no one's. I wonder if they're going to start doing that, or if they should start. Let me ask you that one. Do you think they should start doing that?
Well, I think they should. You know, they should, but I'm not sure they will. They may get some snippets going here and there, and maybe as things start to heat up a little bit with the campaign, they might do that. You know, I almost think about, you know, when is something rebroadcast when Biden does something? When has he been in the news cycle? I'll tell you right now, when I can remember major news carriers putting a clip of him up, and what it was Biden gets angry at auto worker for saying he's going to take his guns away, and he has a fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
Biden yells at an old man at a town hall and calls him a damn liar. So, you know, all the other things that he's done and does don't get any attention. But when he, you know, argues with somebody or calls out some stupid statement that somebody makes, that's what gets the press. So, you know, I'm almost wondering if that's the cycle, if that's what the news wants to see him do, and that's what they'll broadcast, then have some kind of a, you know, have some kind of an event set up so that's what happens. I'm not saying for him to be, you know, angry and yelling at somebody, but maybe calling something out, calling something stupid out, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, that might get their attention. But at this point, they don't seem to want to cover just the fact that he's running a campaign virtually, and it's unprecedented because he can't, you know, he can't mount a campaign at physical rallies because yeah. nobody can do that at this point in time to beat an incumbent president. It's virtually unprecedented, right?
Yeah, virtually unprecedented. But boy, if there was ever a time that it's going to get done, it's going to be. Was the first Bush the he only served one term? Am I correct?
The was first Bush?
Yeah,
Bush. Yeah. He was defeated after his first term, probably an effect of the Iran-Contra scandal and 8 years of Reagan that were marred with lots of scandal, and I think that really carried over to Bush Senior. Bush Senior probably was a much better. Quite frankly, a much better president, a much more effective president, doesn't get a lot of credit. You know, Reagan was another kind of rah-rah guy, swathed himself in the flag. He was an actor, and he knew how to play the public. But realistically, Bush Sr. was much more of a statesman than a politician, knew how to get things done, but he suffered because of the kind of the being at the tail of those 8 years of Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah. Was probably that no new taxes probably didn't help. You know, read my lips.
Yeah, read my lips. You know, yeah. Those kind of things really came back to bite him.
Yeah, and I think that was a desperate move anyhow. I think he saw the writing on the wall there and, you know, kind of swung for the fences.
Yeah.
We were talking about something else before we started that you wanted to touch on it. Honestly, I forgot what it was.
Well, it's the new, you know, it kind of flies under the radar because let's face facts. There really isn't any need for a press secretary anymore. I mean, the last press secretary I remember seeing on TV was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. So, you know, the next one in line was a woman by the name of Stephanie Gresham. I would venture to say if you asked 1,000 Americans across the country, you know, a few from each state, 50 from each state or so, 100 from each state, whatever you want to do, 5,000 Americans, you poll them. I'm going to say less than 25% of them would know who Stephanie Gresham is. Say, who is Stephanie Gresham and what's her job? I would be willing to bet at least $100 that less than 25% of the people would know who that is. She is the most recent outgoing press secretary for President Trump. She will now become the chief of staff for the first lady, whatever that entails. So I don't think the woman has held more than one or two press conferences, to my knowledge. Do you recall any?
No, and I couldn't even tell you when the last one was. Kind of silly to have a press secretary if you're not holding any pressers, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They just basically shut it down. And now there are pressers, but of course it's with this idea that, as you've touched on today, and we have touched on before in our videos, that it's a campaign rally built around the idea of giving information around COVID-19. So there isn't really a press secretary handling these. It's just Trump standing out there with the doctors and him holding court. And he knows he's got this format that he can just talk as much as he wants to. And that's what he wants. So in any event, there's a new press secretary. She's very irrelevant. The only relevance she has is, you know, she had tweeted some things in her past saying that Obama's brother still lives in a hut in Kenya. You know, this is the kind of person that I guess qualifies to be a press secretary.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it? I honestly, I don't know how the fuck these people get away with this stuff.
But, well, thankfully, we probably won't hear much from her.
Probably not.
just for the record, she's the typical kind of Fox News female host, the blonde hair, spray tan. Her name is, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, Kaylee McEnany. Kaylee McEnany. Never really heard of her before other than seeing some of her crazy tweets.
Wow. Well, hopefully we don't hear from her at all.
Right.
As long as this coronavirus is going on, we're never going to have to because he's just running his own pressers. So we won't have to worry about it. In other news, real quick, because we're going to be getting up against it here pretty quick. Trump removes the stimulus watchdog, the $2 trillion stimulus watchdog.
What a shock.
Yeah, there's a shock. The watchdog was Glenn Fine. He was the acting, again, here we go, acting. If you remember our pod yesterday, everybody in his administration isn't acting, whatever. So Glenn Fine was the acting Pentagon Inspector General. And he was informed Monday that he will be replaced by Sean O'Donnell, who is the current Inspector General at the EPA. O'Donnell will be simultaneously be Inspector General at the EPA and acting IG at the Pentagon. Permanent replacement is confirmed for the Defense Department. Frankly, I don't understand how, first of all, so maybe you can explain this. And I know I'm kind of putting you on a spot here, and I apologize. How the hell can Trump remove that, because is it simply because he's the Pentagon Inspector General, so he just took him out of that position? How the hell does Trump get to start removing watchdogs for a stimulus package that is, by definition, something Congress is in control of?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had exact details on that, but I'm going to guess that there was enough wiggle room for him to appoint and remove at his pleasure people that would be under the purview of the executive branch. And probably because that person was appointed under the Pentagon, as you stated, you know, that puts it squarely in his purview. You know, and he's the type of person that, as we've seen, he'll take action and wait for somebody to challenge him and then force anybody to, you know, prove that he can't do it. So, I mean, this is the way he's run his presidency, and it's been to the delight and cheers of the MAGA crowd, and it's been to the consternation of people who expect a certain amount of, not just tradition, but a certain amount of rules of order to take place and to hold sway. And you know, look, a lot of people like to have order. We like to have something we can count on. We like to have some expectation and transparency around what actions are being taken. And, you know, that's the exact opposite of what we're getting with Trump. And some people cheer that and applaud it. And kind of like we said yesterday, that might be cute and funny, but it certainly doesn't instill a lot of confidence when you're facing a national emergency or a world-based emergency like we're facing right now, because there is no clear leadership, there is no clear sense of order or anything to count on as we go through this crazy time as a country. We don't have any clear leadership or transparent leadership from our president or the executive branch. So one thing I want to suggest, Master Patsy, as you said, we're kind of getting up against it. I know we have probably a faithful group of listeners and some building of listeners upon this format. Why don't you mention to everybody where they can find us on the four other days of the work week on our video pod?
Oh, thanks, Frank. I'm glad you asked me to do this. as everybody knows, we are Frank and I are on this podcast. You know, wherever you find our podcast, you find us every Wednesday, same bad time, same bad channel. That never changes. It's always going to be the case. But this week we started Monday. On Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. So every weekday other than our typical Wednesday, we have a video podcast. It's, you know, we started out, whenever we started putting this thing together, we were saying 15 minutes. It immediately turned into a half an hour.
Imagine that.
You know what? It's probably going to continue to grow. But we started on Monday. We have Monday, Tuesday. We have this today, and then Thursday and Friday. But the video is on Twitch, Mixer, YouTube, and Periscope. We figured out a way to get on Instagram, to be on Instagram stories. So we're going to try that tomorrow. And still trying to work on a way to get on Facebook Live without actually making a Facebook. That's still going to be a challenge. But we'll try to finagle something. We'll try to figure something. And that's every day. So you're going to hear us all week. You're either going to see us or hear us or both every week. But the video ones on all of those streaming services, take place at what time, Frank?
Those ones, we start at 5:30 and, usually go till about 6:15.
Yeah.
6:15.
Yeah. You and I usually start at 5:30. We have a bunch of guests. Okay, I mean, we have an absolute bunch of guest books. So it's not just Frank and I talking, right? You're going to hear Master Grant, who I co-host the Mastering the News podcast on Sundays with. A very good friend of ours, Lou Presner, who's just, Frank, Lou's been hitting it out of the park.
Yes, he has.
Just absolutely phenomenal. Dr. Diane Bowser, who's been on our pod, been on the Sunday pod, and is constantly involved in things that we're doing. She's going to be on. You have brought somebody on yesterday with who's going to start coming on, a very good friend of yours, Jorge.
Yep.
So he's going to be on. Phyllis Ramsey, who's been on our pod, has been a guest and has also been a co-host when Frank decides to go to Europe. Phil's going to be on, and we're just drawing in more and more people all the time. We had, 5 people on yesterday, and video. It's just a Zoom video that we're sending out to all these platforms, and so you see us all at the same time. And it's the conversations we've had the last 2 days, Frank, I thought have been some of the best we've had, maybe ever. I mean, I've finished every show. And as soon as we all got off, I would look at my wife and say, honey, that was fantastic. Boy, did we have a good show today. I'm really excited about it. And we're just getting started with it. So it's going to be phenomenal.
I really think it's going to grow in ways that we can't even imagine at this point in time. I think the format's great. I think that the talking points that we end up coming up with are great. And the energy from yesterday's show really was great with Dr. Dai. Mentioning some things that we should be tracking as we move forward. And I think she's going to bring such a great presence and a different, you know, viewpoint to the things that we talk about. Definitely Jorge Ramirez Sanchez, who's going to come on with us hopefully tomorrow. He's going to have a perspective that's different than all of us. And it's important to include those kind of perspectives because, look, we don't always think of things the way that everybody else does. And it just brings such a good perspective, and I could just see this growing a brand for the thing that you've thought about and wanted to start. It's really going to I just really think it's going to take off.
I'm very happy with the vibe that we've had through this whole thing because I think it's been phenomenal. I do think it's probably going to be in one of our best interests. One of somebody that we have on there to learn German. I think that we're going to need that.
yeah.
You know,
Ich verstehe.
we had this guy on who was chatting with us, and he was chatting on the YouTube stream, who was German, and he's chatting in German, and none of us could answer him. This guy's trying so conversation with him, none of us could do anything because everything was typed in German. We couldn't figure out what to do. It was terrible. I felt so bad because I didn't want. I bet he felt like we were ignoring him, and it just. There's got to be some translator or something we can get on it because we're messaging each other back and forth. It's like, I can't understand what this guy's saying.
I'll send it to my mother-in-law. We'll see if she can, she's directly from Germany. So she came here when she was 16. I'm sure she could help. My wife probably doesn't know as much as she used to, but she occasionally can read it, but she's not as fluent as her mother. So maybe we'll have some resources. Who knows?
I hope so. We got to do something because obviously after like, you know, English, broken English, Italian, broken Italian, I'm pretty much done after that, right? I got four. You got, you know, in Pittsburghese, we got Lou from Pittsburghese. So that's it. After that, we're, you know, we're shooting in the dark at that, after that. I'll break you. Just a great pod today. Anything you want to say before we kill this?
Just please find us, participate as much as you can. We're looking forward to interacting with all of you. We're looking forward to bringing you great content every week on Wednesdays and every other day on the live, feeds that we're doing. Patsy, thank you for everything you've done to try to, you know, to definitely keep this momentum going and, you know, people be safe out there, keep social distancing. You know, I see a lot of promise from areas around the world where we're seeing, you know, the social distancing practicing and the efforts that are taking place in different places around the world to try to combat this pandemic are working. The curve is flattening. So the sooner we all kind of get that message and really do put it into practice, the sooner we're going to get out to the other side of this. And believe me, as much as, you know, Patsy and I talked about yesterday, learning some lessons from this, this is a blessing in some ways for us. We as a country and as a society, we really need to be able to get back to some normalcy for everybody, for the kids, for everybody that's involved, for the future of everybody. And we can still take those lessons forward that we've learned about the importance of being with family and loved ones. But we can move forward with a much better frame of mind after this all. And so keep up the good work with the social distancing and learning the lessons that we've learned.
Yeah, absolutely, folks. Listen to the experts. Okay, there's a reason they're experts. I always tell people, if you're approaching a bridge, you don't want that bridge to be a bridge that's built by a cook, right? You want it to be a bridge that's built by a bridge engineer, because he's the expert. He's going to keep you safe. He's going to keep you alive. The bridge isn't going to collapse. You know, you don't want somebody working in a kitchen to build your bridge. Okay, no. You want that person working in the kitchen to give you a meal at the end of that bridge, because it's going to be dynamite, but you got to get there. So there's a reason these folks are experts. Don't be an armchair expert. Don't listen to the knuckleheads who think they know better than the people who do this for a living, okay? You get paid for what you do for a reason, because you're good at what you do. These guys get paid what they're getting paid because they're good at what they do. So listen to them. Pay attention to what they're saying. Follow their instructions. I mentioned yesterday, Frank, you know, it's hard for me to be told what to do. I'm somebody who's very receptive to being told what to do. I'm following every precaution these folks have. They say jump, I'm saying how high, right? And it's not for me as much as it is for the people around me. I have concern and more respect for the people that I'm surrounded with, in my house, in my neighborhood, in my place, because I'm an essential employee, that I want to keep them safe. I want to keep their families safe. I want to keep our community safe. So it's not for me. It's for everybody else. Always. Don't think of yourself. Think about the people that you affect. That being said, Frank, great pod as always. Thank you so much for everybody listening. Like Frank and I always like to say, your time is very valuable. And the fact that you're spending some of that time with us means it truly does. So until next week on the audio pod, same bad time, same bad channel. If you don't get that reference, you're far too young to be listening to us. And tomorrow and Friday, 5:30-ish on Twitch, Mixer, Periscope, YouTube, We're probably going to try Instagram tomorrow. We're going to see if we can get that to work. Frank, you and I might start that a little early before everybody jumps in, see if we can find. Everywhere. We're just everywhere. If you like it, you like what you hear, you like what you see on the videos, please. I know times are tough, but, you know, if you can help us out, be a supporter on Patreon. You can't tell you how much it would mean to us. So until then, till tomorrow, we'll see everybody. So goodbye, good luck, and God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.